So the thing about people who like bounty chocolate is that they also like soft plantain. So pray for them. They're fighting principalities we do not know about. Mama! Welcome, people, to another exciting episode of the People's Favorite Podcast. It's Sincerely Accra all up in this hizzle. Check it out, check it out. Yes, guys, we're back. Ooh, it's another Monday. It's another Monday. Maybe you're already there. This is your lunch break. Part through at Kings and Queens. You're going to make it 5 p.m. is not that far off. Like, just get busy, you know? But don't give me the light, because we all know Sean Paul had no business letting that girl do that to that song. I don't know what it is. But welcome, guys, to Sincerely Accra. My name is Joseph Inti. I'm your host. And I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori, the numero uno, podcast editor, Bakupe, sound engineer, premiere one. That's Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. And also, the Gold Coast Report, that's a podcast hosting network that we're assigned to. And hey, guys, it's going to be a good show. I hope you guys are strapped in.
Take over. 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 Take tell our girls to never see top. So just beat it, king of pop. I been dope, call the doc, let's detox. I know Bob, but it's Chuck life, let's converse. Two packs of Machiavelli, I bomb first. I know they tuck missiles, drones are funk flex. It's all really simple, I'm complex. So tell all the drums that I'm bar heavy. Bar after bar, get your shots ready. I nice flow, exposed flows, I show off. ECG, watch me go off.
Check the score. Play to win, yeah, prep for draw. Nah, I'm not playing ball. They closed the gates, I found an open door.
This is the part of the podcast where we talk about what is trending, what is going on, what has got everybody in a tizzy, and guess what it is? It is nigger shit, and I love it. Saka Diaw dropped Brag. And you know, last time we were talking about Kendrick and Drake and all of that. And you know, it's just fair. This is right in our backyard. I have a lot of fun doing a lot of analysis on these things. I have a very big imagination. So I just really draw like different storylines from what these people do every time like this beef. I've like thoroughly enjoyed, you know, everything that Drake and Kendrick, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I listened to Brag and I was like, you know what? Yes. I'll tell you, I have three stages every time I listen to Saka Diaw music, right? Typically it's like, when I first listen, I don't know why, but I always listen with this like filter of like, okay, Saka Diaw does too much. I don't know where it comes from. I'm like, oh, Saka Diaw does too much. Then when I watch it or I listen, I'll be like, okay, I recognize the artistry, right? And then I listen again, and before you know it, I'm like, oh my goodness, the lyrics, he's saying stuff. You know what I mean? And I don't know what people used to judge Saka Diaw by when they say like whether he's saying stuff or not. But me, something I like, the wordplay is really funny. It's like, you know, his imagination of what's like, what a rapper of his status is supposed to sound like right now. So we're literally like, we're watching him, you know, morph into what he's always thought of himself. And I just, it gags me that, you know, a lot of middle class Ghanaians like to come for him because everybody loves him. But anyway, let's get into my favorite lines and let's just dissect it because we don't have much time before Kwame chops this up. Okay. So the very first thing that like jumped right out to me was, even the people waiting for coach, you started switching up on me and I was losing it. I'm famous and they was up every day. Did they ghost you? Guys, sounds to me like Saka Diaw's friends and mentors ghosted him. He's literally saying it. People that are supposed to coach you switched up on you and now you're sending messages and nobody. Saka Diaw, did you do something? The next line for me, that's that on that, guys. I don't really want to dwell too much on that because I just feel like it's an avenue for Saka Nation to misunderstand me and I just want to move right along. I want to have a peaceful week, guys. You know, it's already hard. You know, it's currently an economic shigiligi. So I just try to go out on the radar and not on it. Okay, next one. Bitch, I'm trying to touch a millie. Put your pussy on the side. Give me space. Make you no touch my trousers. I'm going to be quite honest with you. Every time Michael attempts to sell this, like, I fuck bitches fantasy, I just don't see it. It's not like I don't think he can get a girl. I mean, nigga's married. I believe in all of that. He can pull a girl. Yes. But you know, this pussy being offered to him and he's putting it to the side. I just don't buy into that fantasy. I'm not saying that, like, emphasano. I'm just saying that, I don't know, mi hun sa, like, or, I don't know, it never really translates for me. But I'm like, okay, good on you. I like that artistry. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, you cannot deny the artistry. Sakari is a talented man. So yeah, and of course, Whiskey and Davido. Look, Sakari is a businessman. If you pay attention to what Sakari has been doing over the years, you see the rebranding, you see the direction in which it's going. So this shouldn't shock you. He's a businessman. It's a commercial record. He's got a new mixtape coming out. Guys, Sakodi has a new The Championship mixtape. And so all of this is promo, guys. All of this is, like, it's needed. He needs to jump on a track and say all the shit that's going to get people wanting to talk back, clap back. And he'll be the conversation for like a day, a week. You know, trend. And that is marketing. A businessman. So, like, that name drop, I'm not mad at it, you know. But apparently he got some Nigerians in a tizzy. So much so that Dremo came out and did a track. I chanced upon that track on my TL. So it was like a snippet of like a part of the track. And I must tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't hear anything. It was really said really fast. I didn't hear anything. I don't know. I think he said, did he say something that I remember? I think he said something and I wanted to point it out, but I don't even know anymore because yeah. But Dremo responded. And yeah, basically, like, you know, trying to say, what are you talking about? Whiskey, Davido, blah, blah, blah. You know, just inserting himself into the thing. And here's the thing. Okay. Dremo is somebody that could do with the attention. You know, he needs the attention right now. You know what I mean? Because like the rap, whatever in Nigeria is not standing on much. So they need this. And Zaydin knows, you know, it's like, quid pro quo. Everybody's in on it. You know what I mean? But anyway, let's move on. My next favorite thing. My biggest competition is Kendrick and Cole. Now, listen, that was a choice. And I must say, when I heard it, I immediately said, girl, Michael, come on. And then I said, you know what? I get it. This is it. This is hip hop, braggadocious. You need to talk the shit. You need to have utmost belief in yourself. You need to make people like, who the fuck is this nigga? Why does he think he can do this? You know what I mean? And that's the effect it's giving. I don't know. Like, if you guys can just like get down from this veil that you view Sarkozy as like he's like doing too much. Cause I'm telling you, it happens to me all the time. You can push it aside, you know? And another thing I find with Ghanaians is that it's so hard for people to understand that you like somebody and be able to critique them. And that's why for me, I don't really like to talk about Sarkozy on like my socials too much because, you know, the fan base is wild and they will misconstrue whatever it is that I'm going to say. But like, I love his artistry, but there are a few things that I'll be like, okay, sorry, maybe you could have done it different. We can disagree on certain things, which, you know, should happen, but hey, not with a fan base like that. But let me tell you, my personal favorite part of the song, that's the part like I really jam to every time is, Namane, my dream fune ni mune. Hey, I mean, like, that part was so nice. It was so fun. Turn it up. Hey, they be trying to send me up. Man, come me, boy, didn't shame me. Hey, me, yeah. But if you never try me for this, something, shame me. I love it. And the beat drops on that side. It is so on point. It is so, oh my God. Sakari, don't fuck with me. Like, it's so good. It is so good. And then, this was iconic because I caught this. He said, Ghana, how nobody had the nerve. It was me, myself, and I carry all the load. Bitch. A callback to Beyonce's first album, the single, Me, Myself, and I. I know. I recognize it. I was like, yeah. Yeah, this is what you call interpolation, baby. Oh, yes. It was Me, Myself, and I. And I love it. Any Queen B reference, you know, I'm going to catch it. I'm going to appreciate it. I'm going to allow it. So I caught it, Michael. I was like, yes, I live. Yeah, but I really like this part, too. Any type of hop on beats, I start on peace because they can come from the streets. No, come from streets. Ah, woo, woo, woo. That flow over there, like you switch it. Like anytime I hop on beats, I start on beats. Ah, Jesus Christ. I was living. That was good. No, that was good. Another point of, you know, dilemma for me was, let's be honest, how many people go rap on these type beats? Throw it on the, if they're not going to freeze. I don't know. That's very debatable. A couple of rappers come to mind. Could you cue B for Bonner, Joey B, Kid Black? You know what I mean? But all of these are just even like the backup acts that will come and do the thing. Because the real truth is that this beat, Ochami Kwame will kill it. What are you talking about? Rap Doctor. Hey, mumu nim rap, mumu kai rap doctor. Mu ah, you must not know Rap Doctor of old, early 2000s, hold on. Ah, actually, 011, 012 cry. Rap Doctor. What do you mean? He can't, ah, no, you way, Slimbasta cry, woman in jail, wait to me at all. Way. Number one, pa 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 Agnes, pa 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 ta ta Tatiana, pa 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 Maria yo, pa 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 oh yeah, my day, Slimbasta, minya maba. Like, what are you talking about? No, Michael, there's a long list, there's a tall list, okay? But anyway, look. Let me tell you the quick, like this, like the domino effect, okay, of this drop, okay, okay. So, Kwao Kese, who's got new music coming out, actually, by the time this episode comes out, all of the new music that has resulted from this drop or is being marketed by this drop has already come out, and you guys will have your opinions, but I'm just telling you so you can catch up. But basically, Kwao Kese is dropping a song called Balling, okay? And so when Sakida dropped the song, he put out a tweet talking about that about rappers trying to act street, you know what I mean? Like, trying to, like, throw shots at Sakodia. And of course, Sakodia lit him up, right? That's that. Yapono also got song coming out. It's called Statement. It's probably already out by now. And he also, you know, said a few things. So it's kind of like, okay, y'all niggas are now using me for promo because you have records that are like lined up and I drop and I name drop or whatever. And like, you're trying to like, you know, and that's the thing. This is what Sakodia, what, listen, look, whether you like it or not, Sakodia knows how to wake it up. He wakes it up. Whatever you guys think is left of the industry, he can wake it up. Bitch, look at the tall list. Okay. Of course, people were like, read it into a tweet Manifest put out. And then Manifest tweeted the link to a song, Suffer. That he has. It's a very beautiful record. I listened to it. And basically he's saying, you never know joy if you've never had to suffer. That's what he's like literally rapping about, right? And listen, guys, this is a reach. I might even hurt myself. Listen, just walk with me. I'm just like, okay, is he trying to say that like, you guys, leave Sarkodie. He's like experiencing joy because he has really suffered. Like poking fun at the fact that like, he's from the streets. I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I know this is a reach, but I'm just saying maybe. Like, that's what it was giving for me, but I was like, why do you tweet it at this moment when people think you're shading Sakodia? But anyway, you know, some people were not happy with a Dremel drop. So Koffi Mole did Concert Party. And then apparently CJ Biggerman has a song as well, responding to Dremel. And then now Lyrical Joe also replied to Dremel with a song called 1960. And like, everybody is just like, everybody's waking up. Like, you know what I mean? It's a smart business decision. He's got a mixtape coming out, the championship. I feel like this, based on the lead single, this brag song, I feel like he's about to enter his braggadocious era. Like, he's about to talk his shit, right? He's trying to come and give you some Jay-Z Magna Carta shit. I think that's what he's about to give. And so he's going to be stepping on a lot of toes in the name of commercial success, engagements. So y'all just strap up because soccer is coming and that's what it is.
Supposed to. Dumb and I'm a hard nobody to go to. Poor boy from the god, I wouldn't get nothing to eat, but I was thinking about selling the O2. I never gave up on the dream, but I was close to. Even the people with it for coach you. Started switching up on me and I was losing and got famous and it was up. I got everybody in the ghost you. I had a feeling I was gonna be bigger than how the people see me. Put my money where my mouth is. Tell my brother, mama want me send me merry cash. I'm not supposed to be sleeping on this couches. I was born to make it out of the ghetto. A couple mama get rolling and buy myself a couple houses. Bitch, I'm trying to touch a meal. Put your pussy on the side. Give me space. Make it don't touch my trousers. Whiskey came, I was already doing it. David Joe started when I was improving it. And then Odogu came through. Black Sheriff to watch a camp. Still gone with you. Thought I was losing it. My biggest competition is Kendrick and Cole. Tonight I'm touching the club, spending some dough. I see the microphone and I'm ready to go. The boy raps and I'm so keep it all. Me deep I'm in that throat. I passed the test, I took flight. I swear the shit is too light. I got the bread, I'm too quiet. I'm about my bread, I'm so tight. Snipe these rappers on sight. Fuck with me, I'm gonna strike. I put in the work, we don't hide. When it comes to this, I'm too nice.
All right, guys. So on this episode, listen, we're going to be talking to some very interesting people, okay? Entrepreneurs, okay? Oh, yeah, entrepreneur. On your day. How you guys seen that video? I find it so funny. But anyway, yes, we're going to be talking to Jay Mukasi Sheik, you know, of the Anajuwache business. Formerly used to sell Angwamo, you know, Jollof Festival. Quite a few things to her name, you know. Ms. Jay is no stranger to entrepreneurship, business, you know, owning, running a business successfully, unsuccessfully. Like, she's had it all. And yeah, so we're going to have her on to talk because we want to know what it's like running a business in this current shiggy of an economy. And we're also going to be talking to Kojo from The Good News Limited. Listen, this man is selling t-shirts, but he's doing it in such a beautiful way. He's telling amazing stories. And Kwame wears a lot of these shirts. Like, you can customize really cool. Like, put fried plantain on a shirt. Like, and it looks cool. Like, he does it in a cool way. There's just a difference about it. Just check it out. Good News Limited, I'm telling you. Yeah, we're going to be talking to them. And we're going to be finding out about, like, their business, how they got into it, challenges and stuff like that. Just so people that, you know, I feel like a lot of people are contemplating, should I leave my job and go and start my business? Is it worth it? Like, how is it like on the other side? And so we just wanted to give you guys this perspective because the real conversations matter. You know what I mean? So let's get into it. And we'll catch you on the other side.
What be your name team? What you do with your muscles? It be coming to your main team. Man can't for each, so be like all be the same team. What are you, lawyer, doctor, or you the push drop for Kardashian? I say, what be your hustle? What be your name team? What you live with your muscles? You be plumber or medicine. Any which way, man for each, all be the same team. How you feel call yourself footballer when you don't know what be done Galatian? Mensa is back again. I do drive the world insane. Everything I do is a result of hard work. I don't ever complain.
On this episode, we're going to be talking about making money by way of working. You know, people often say, what's the most ideal job? What kind of job do you want to do? What's your dream job? Is it dream job? Dream job? How the hell do you think I dream about labor? You know, the account is full. You know, a little shopping. You know what I really would like to do is just to throw parties, host dinners. Do you get it? So listen, I'm going to get into it, all right? I have two very lovely special... Look, this episode is like, bring your friends to work day. Madame Fuyaba, Kuna Bakuya Kwame Asantia, Madame Funtia, you know, friends in Yaba around. But we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship in this economy, 2024. Because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm as well as you, unya ding. But I can't say 9 to 5. So people are like, 9 to 5 is too much. I can't do it. Like, but here we are. So we're going to be talking to these very, I would like to say successful entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? And so we get into the things. What's it like running a business, starting a business, maintaining a business, getting yourself out of it? You know, every time they say it's getting harder to get out of your bed and turn your swag on and go to work. Imagine you don't have your boss. You're your own boss. How is that like? And so that's what we're going to be doing. You know, I would normally do an introduction, but I think I want them to do it themselves. I want to teach people how to be confident and talk their shit. I'll let them do it. So I'm going to start. I have here Nyanui and Jay. Jay. Yeah. So, ladies first. Jay, tell the people, who are you? What do you do?
My name is JJB. Mm-hmm. I'm a social culinary entrepreneur. Gosh. So I run a couple of food businesses. I also run a social culinary enterprise.
Social culinary entrepreneur.
Yes, so I use culinary to create impact.
Impact.
Yes.
Bravo.
Yes.
Because if you go, eat good, you live well. Maybe sana.
Oh, we use culinary skills. We teach underprivileged women and underskilled women culinary skills so they can go back into their society to create money for their communities and their families.
Okay. So even when you're an entrepreneur, you can still do CSR. You know what I mean? That's what it's giving. Okay,
Yanni,
what about you?
I'm a designer. That's the bottom line. I use stories to sell t-shirts, basically. That's what I do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm trying to become like Nike in a couple of years. That's my goal, essentially.
It's possible, though.
Oh, yeah.
When you said you were like, it's possible.
In fact, let me take this again.
Yes.
Good News will be bigger than Nike in 2030. I've said it here first.
Yeah. I just have to be a small boy. All right. So I just want to know, did you guys like start off straight away like...
as entrepreneurs, or did you do a 9-to-5 ever? Because, you know, I know Jay, and I are Jumada. There was a time, it would be a very Jollof festival. It was very exciting. Well, I think we did 2 events before we started, and we did fast food festival. I've always known Jay as an entrepreneur. In fact, that's maybe the first time.
Oh my God.
First time we share Jay, we could do Anguamu on the shop. Osu. You remember? No, yeah, Anguamu be pink, be oh my god. Yeah, so I've always known as an entrepreneur. But Jay, those days, any age, my say, hey, in my heydays, in my heydays. So I'm like, Jay, I'm working in an office.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I started working when I was in uni.
Okay.
And I worked more than 10 years in an office, 9-to-5.
Really?
Yes.
So, what was like, when did you decide to stop a 9-to-5, and what was the like catalyst? Yeah.
I don't remember the specific year, but I had just started being an entrepreneur while still doing my 9-to-5.
Okay.
And then I realized that, like they say in Ghana, you can't run a business without being there. So it was important that I choose what. I couldn't eat my cake and have it. So I decided to be an entrepreneur.
Jay, no, but so your simultaneous equation, but not, she couldn't find X. Yes. Okay, so wait, the first business was the Anguamu business, or was it something else?
No, so my very first business was a cafe called She Brews. I really have always wanted to own a cafe.
She Brews?
Yes, a lady.
Oh, She Brews.
She Brews.
Oh, well, I never heard of that.
Did you
have a space? Or it was
we had a space. We were around Pippers at Ring Road. So that's when I started, you know, meeting other people. Because I've always been from an advertising, production and marketing background. But then I began to meet other people through that. So we're selling coffee. And I was thinking, oh, let's, you know, do a little bougie and meet the Roni for. And people would come in and say, do you have Banku? Do you have...
we're close to the gym. Yes. What would you mean? Well, how old were you?
I don't know.
Yo. Hey,
I was in my early 20s.
Yes. Because how you had a shop you were renting?
I was renting.
Hey, you know what's cool?
So that was the shop. When I left, then my friend Sandy of, she's a fashion designer, Sandy Owusu. Oh, okay.
Hey, TikTok, don't come for me. The last time I said I didn't know somebody on this show, they dragged me.
I'm so sorry. She's a fashion designer.
Okay.
She took over the shop. So it was a little space there at Switchback Road.
Switchback Road. Yes. Okay. I don't think you told me what the catalyzing force was that says, okay, I want to do entrepreneurship. I think you told me what made you stop.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but whilst you were working, why did you want to do something on the side?
Well, I think I also come from a background where, okay, my father was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Like a very serious, interesting entrepreneur. But I've always known that even if I work for somebody, I would want to explore other interests. Because I wasn't working in the field that I wanted to be in. So I was in marketing and production, and I still wanted to explore this food interest that I had.
Okay.
So I decided that why don't we try and see if we could bring the experience of what I learned whilst I was in marketing to come and manage my own brand.
Right. Yeah. Oh, very interesting. Nanyue.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, I met you years ago. That's when
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I knew.
I was talking to Kwame yesterday. And then I was like, oh, give me Kojo. So
I have your number.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you as Jury from years ago.
I was like, Kwame was talking about, I'm never giving you his number before. I was like, you said he was going to give something to him. I don't know what that's around about.
Yeah.
So you are a designer.
Mm-hmm.
That's graphic design, right?
I've done graphic design for about a decade. I started doing videography, media, and film only like 3 years ago.
Wow.
So I started from graphic design, and then I switched to UI and UX.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I realized that I could do more and I started adding the videography, then I found out that there was a thing called cross-media design.
Alienating.
So cross-media design is just leveraging all the design skill sets to do one thing.
Okay.
So that's practically where Good News is coming from. Okay. So what I'm doing with Good News is that I'm leveraging all the skills that I have to sell t-shirts, basically.
No, I was spending some time on your social media last night.
Mm.
And trust me, I was actually very sad I couldn't make it to your...
My screening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I was telling Kwame that when we do our 10-year documentary, I knew you should shoot it. Would you do it?
I'd love to.
Hey. Bonded. I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
You've had an office job before?
I've had an office job for the longest time. I used to work with a TV station in Kumasi. Even before then, I used to work with an architect and I was doing design for him.
Okay.
So even then, I was dabbling into designs as well, like architectural design as well.
Mm.
And then I moved to Kumasi, worked for a TV station. And that's when I started to hone in like regular design, editing, filming and all of those things. And then when I was coming back to Accra, I didn't want the restriction of going to one place and then having spending all of my time there. So I changed the way I worked in an office. So instead of going to one office 9 to 5, I had retainers and then I'd give my design services to them based on that.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. These are the people that are slowly crumbling the agency business. I'm telling you, I worked in agency, like I've worked in two different agencies cumulatively 4 years.
Mm.
And I remember one of the things my boys used to complain about is all the people that are doing the freelance, they are charging less than us.
You know, that's funny. That's interesting because that was never my entrance. The reason why I was doing it that way was also because I wanted to do a couple of jobs and make the kind of money that I wanted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So ideally, at the time, I built my resume to a level, so I couldn't charge small.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But I mean, the thing is that as an individual who's probably working from your bedroom, your overhead is not the same as a whole agency that employs like 20 people.
So
you are going to get a job and you say, give us 20,000 to manage your Facebook. Me, one person, I'll take 6K. You know what I mean? When you guys decided to start your own thing, what was the first thing you did? First thing, because I remember when Carmen and I wanted to start a podcast, the first thing we did was we were hustling over what the name would be. Like, over and over. Come along with Joe, Hibiscus Fusion. We had horrible names, I'm telling you. Yeah. Look, Kofi, I'm shaking your head. If we had called this podcast Hibiscus Fusion, it would be Hibiscus Fusion to this day. Yeah, so what was the first thing you guys did when you decided to start your entrepreneurship journey?
I think the first thing for me was to find a way to get my capital.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because the name came quite easily to me.
She actually picks the best name.
I know.
For a business, it's the best name.
You know, I used to think Mukasi Chick. And then you always say, it's Chic, right? So yours was capital. How did you go about getting capital?
What I'm going to say, I know a lot of people say, don't start your business by doing that. But I did take a loan. So in my office, a lot of people were taking loans for cars because, you know, the banks will come to you. I took my money and I used it to start my business.
Oh, really? A lot of people say don't use a bank loan for a business.
Yeah, business-wise, it's not advisable to use a loan for a business. Yeah.
But that's how you started.
That's how I started.
Mm. But if you don't use loan, where would you use the loan? Like, even if your father gives it to you, say loan. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'd rather prefer that you use a loan that doesn't have, you don't have to pay so much interest on. Yeah, but I use my...
Did you pay them back?
I did pay them back, but I didn't make the money back.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about some of the failures because we're starting to be brave. Yeah. What was the first thing you thought about?
As for me, I was forced, to be honest.
You were forced to do
I was forced to start the business.
By who?
It's very, very interesting. So I used to do them for myself. Yeah, not my shit. I went my own thing.
Ah, t-shirts. Okay.
Yeah, and then a friend of mine, I did an interview for someone, a friend of mine took a video. And then he put it out. Like, he didn't tell me anything about it.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I was getting feedback. Like, Charlie, you're doing that thing. So you're talking sign. You're not doing that thing. And then, actually, what it showed me at that point, because the reason why I never actually started because I thought we'd fail.
Oh, okay.
So I thought we'd fail because I was trying to perfect it if I actually do it. But then that was when I learned that you don't need it to be perfect to start. You start it and then you perfect it.
Yes.
So that's what I did. So after he put it out and I was like, okay, it looks great. The feedback is good. Then let me just lean in. And that's how I started.
Yeah. I mean, we started in the wardrobe. Look at me now. Do you know, not people behind the camera. Mr. Wardrobe, no, show them. Hi, guys. Welcome to the
Those are some of my favorite episodes, actually.
Really?
Yeah, the
wardrobe episodes. I'm not even going to lie. And I don't, now that I say these people are going to know, I prefer to record in my wardrobe because I feel like when they are here, I can't fool them. I want to fool. I'm always like, I feel like, oh, this body is steaming in some way. Ah, honestly, but what about you? Where did you get your startup capital from?
Mine was family and friends, to be honest.
Family and friends. Okay. How do you go about that conversation? Because Ghana and we don't trust each other. That's one thing I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I have family and friends. I love them, but if they ask me for money, I won't give it them.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. There's a rule. If you're expecting the money back, don't give it.
Uh-huh.
That's the rule.
My personal rule is don't give an amount that you cannot do away with.
So,
what did you tell them?
So, luckily for me, and I don't think this will apply to a lot of people, but I'm also coming from a family of entrepreneurs. My dad, my brother, my sister, all of them. So even when I was working the 9-to-5, they were encouraging me to quit and start something. Yeah.
I have never heard that before.
Yeah, because also those guys were very some way. So they were really encouraging me to start something of my own, because I'm always seeing the things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've always known that I wanted to do this ever since I was a child.
Yeah.
So they were encouraging me to just quit and start. So when I was ready, it's like, what do you need?
Oh.
Yeah, and then they helped me start the little ones. So when I started with just about 50 shirts.
Okay.
The first drop that we did were 50 shirts, and we sold out in a week.
Okay.
And already I had the proof that this is something that could run. So when it happens like that, and I go back and I show that these are the results that I've been able to make, mm-hmm. based on the first thing that you gave to me, then it's easier to have the conversation to give me more.
Mm.
So that's basically how it is.
Generally, do you think it's difficult to raise business capital in this country, Jay? And I'll ask you that because I feel like you have done multiple things,
mm-hmm.
from Shebrews to Mukasi Chic,
mm-hmm.
to I just saw Culinary for Social Change.
Yeah.
Social I just watched your YouTube video this morning.
Oh.
The one where you said 4 months ago, you said you are back. You're going to be doing, where's the content?
Focus, Joseph.
Do you think it's difficult to raise capital here for business?
From my perspective, it is difficult. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a family and
like
friends,
Nami,
like,
yeah,
like,
say, what do you need?
Like, what do you need? But it really is difficult. I'll give you a personal story. So,
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago, I needed some money from a bank.
Mm-hmm.
to work on my Mukasa Chic business.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, filled everything. You know, they came in, did all their checks, blah, blah, blah. And then when it got to the final person who had to sign, he said, what kind of business is this? Oh, it's a watchy. Who eats, like, watchy at night? So he had to send, like, 2-3 people again to our East Legon branch to, like, you know, figure out. And I remember the girl coming back to me, she said, oh, my God, I was so surprised at the number of, like, clients you had and the kind of clients that you
had. The cars that come to park there.
Focus. But I didn't get the loan because he said to me that, like, Wache is not a business where he's guaranteed that we'll be able to pay that sum of money. And this was a loan that I had sat down with an accountant and we had done a whole spreadsheet of how we're going to get the money back. But if it was, well, maybe the
oil and gas, import and exports, almost no money to get that.
I know. So yeah, it's very difficult. And also, like, your friends as well. I have never asked for a friend mm-hmm. money from a friend for business, but my family, I think also till now, my family don't really understand what I'm doing. They're just like, moving on, like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
like,
give me crap. I'm going to free.
You know, it's almost like, let's go. But it's really difficult. Like, if you don't have a family that's supportive or a financial system in mm-hmm. place, because the rates are so high. There are also the private people who are renting who are giving out loans without loan license.
Mm-hmm.
But their rates are even higher than the banks.
Mm.
But so it's almost like, do you want to go to the bank and they say no? Or you want to take it from a private group of friends or business, and the rates are like 10% a month, which
but
is...
you seem to be very confident in the bank, because this is another example of you going back to the bank.
Oh, no.
Almost, like, if you don't pay them back, they'll come and carry your car and things like that, you know, collateral.
Come and carry the guy.
No, but I remember when I used to do Off the Top, there was a season where, because I used to do it out of pocket for 4 seasons before I started making money. A season where I didn't have any money. And I just told, like, my friends that, Charlie, me, I don't have money. And they contributed to pay for the production. So I think family and friends, depending, because if you want to know what you I gave him the money to start the business. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the next question I have here was, like, do you have any advice for the best way to raise capital? But I don't know if there's a best way.
Well, the truth is, another thing that we fail to see is that there are generally different ways that there are different currencies that you can use to start the business.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we are fixated on the money part.
Mm-hmm.
But you realize that you have a friend who has a camera. You have a friend who can run the audio. You have a friend who takes the photos. You have a friend who has a nice living room that you can shoot the video in.
Yep.
You have a friend who edits. And these are people that, and you're not just taking from them. These are people that you've also contributed to their life in some way. So leveraging that currency alone would help you give you the head start, because before somebody will give you the money, they need to see what you're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And before they see that, you have to do some groundwork by yourself. So usually that is some one of the ways that you can go around it. But even the family and friends money and stuff is good for the beginning.
Yeah.
But at the point where you need to scale, then you need to start talking with like,
bigger.
That's when you need to look bigger.
Yeah.
There are so many ways. We've tried so many ways because we've done some projects together, Jay and I.
Yeah, I heard you are friends.
Oh, yeah,
she's my team. I said, I told Kwame, I said, Jay, no, say, oh, yeah, they are friends. I'm sir. I had no idea.
Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah, one of the other ways is that, and this is something that I wasn't aware of until only last year, that there are so many grants available for things to get done.
Mm.
As long as you've done it before, and the grant you're applying for is just to do it at a bigger scale, you are likely to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people are privy to that information.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned, especially like from Jay, because Jay will always be sending me links. Apply to this thing. Now, me, I'm like, I don't know. Me, myself, I hold myself back. But Jay is always sending me links to this thing. And I think a lot of people are very limited in what they think or where they think they can get money from.
Yeah.
So it's true. There are grants. There are, you know, we're a third world country, guys.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, the Caucasians want to feel good about themselves, they'll give you some money. It's the fact. Give you some money. Just you have to prove how serious you are, what you want to do with it, and all those kind of things. Which I will tell you, people fail at a lot.
Yeah.
It's like you have an idea, but you've not sat down to do your numbers game to see what's going to go. So when people ask you, okay, how are you going to make a profit? How long will it take you? And then you say, oh, we're on PEMA, that's why they give me the money. Mm-hmm. That's not the case.
One of my favorite things to also do is collaborating with like-minded people to come together to start a business.
Yes.
I know that a lot of people say, oh, it's risky, my friend did this, and all those stories, but it's also one of those ways that your business is able to stand the test of time, because where you fall short, you have another person in the team who's able to help you. You bring your little money together and you're able to start something. So collaborative businesses are great.
I even want to give them an example of Jollof Festival, right? Yeah. So at the time that we started doing Jollof Festival, I was working at an agency. I was a community manager. Yaka community manager Facebook page. It's not like I'm in the charge of La Paz community or something. Like, you know, like brands, Facebook pages and stuff like that. And Jay and I had a mutual friend and they started a business. So they needed someone to run the Jollof Festival page. Yes. And then he said, oh, Joseph can do it, you know. Yeah. And at the time I was young, I wasn't even looking for money at the time. Because anybody that knows me, I always like to, you know, get experience first.
Yeah.
We are not Bijiska, you know. So we just, because of my experience with Up the Top and stuff like that, I was running the Jollof Festival page, coming up with ideas. Yeah. We had a friend that was a graphic designer.
Yes.
So it was Frefre Kongo.
Exactly.
Yes, and we did the first event and it did so well.
Yeah.
Then they said, oh, we made some money, guys. Everybody get. Some of you, because they said no free labor. It's a mufiti, sometimes you have to pay your dues. I'm sorry. All right. The next thing, you know that they said young people who start businesses in Ghana, they have 5 years tax holiday. Mwajibi.
I haven't heard.
Mente
well, 5 years, me, true mama, me. I did not qualify.
I think you said your business is 3 years old, so you are inside.
I'm inside.
Yeah, no, but I've heard it. I'm you think it works, or is you who you know?
I mean, right now, you know, sometimes young people start businesses and we leave out some important parts, like, you know, learning about tax and all these things. And it's not a shame to talk to someone who knows more about it or actually ask for help. There are lots of young accountants who not, you know, charge your salary, but just ask you for a stipend so they can help you put your business together. Or there are companies who focus on young businesses, helping them with finance, tax, and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that if you are starting a business, don't be afraid of ombeji sikanibi and whatnot.
Mm.
Just ask for what is available and what's not available. So when you're making decisions, it's easier for you in terms of financial
Yeah, and it's all investment. That's the thing. You want to start on a good footing.
Yes.
And yeah, you know the thing. You've put something out there, they've sold it. Ah, let me just continue. And before you realize, even your revenue that you're supposed to be feeding back, now we one city, you know. But just going off the back of that, I want to start a business. What would you say the five things that I should be focusing on? I've made up my mind I want to start a business. Which five things should I be thinking about?
You want me to talk about?
Yeah.
I think the main thing is to plan for long term.
What does that look like?
To plan for long term is, this is where I want the business to be in 5 years.
Mm.
As soon as you want to make the money immediately, that's it. The business is not going to work.
Hey, this social media is everybody pay for now.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Especially if you're trying to build something for posterity's sake. It's not going to, if it's something that's a low hanging fruit that you can do with skills that you've already previously acquired, that's fair. But if it's something that is a new market that you're entering into and you want to make the money immediately, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're planning for the long term, then you speak to the right people about it. Because first of all, I'm going to take this from a creative perspective. As a creative, we are stuck in the idea and the execution. And like, we do something nice and it's dope, and we're like, oh man, this is sick. And then we put it out, and then we're like, yeah, Charlie, you did something dope, man. This is fire. Yeah, chef, you're cooking no street food. You know? But then you forget that the accounts is one of the most important things about your business.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the first person I spoke to was an accounts manager. It's like, look, I don't know how to handle the money.
Yeah.
Handle the money for me. Once I had that, I knew that I was on track. Then the second thing was somebody to keep me afloat with regards to the management of what I'm trying to say. Because, again, I'm coming from a creative perspective.
Creative, okay.
From the creative perspective, you're seeing the now, but you need to sell the vision to somebody who can see the future that you are going to. I've been seeing Nike by 2030 for years.
Oh, okay.
I've been seeing Nike by 2030 for years. And there's one person in my team who always reminds me of that. When I try to do something, like, oh, Charlie, I'm in 10, I'm getting the then we sell this and we'll make the money. It's like, no, this is not what you're trying to do. You're trying to be like this person. So let's adjust for that to fit. So basically what I'm saying is, you plan for the long term, and then the most important asset for your business are the people.
Mm.
That human resource, you can't do away with it.
True.
I've mentioned an accountant. I mentioned somebody who keeps you abreast of what you're trying to do. And then yourself. If you have these three people alone, your business is on a great start.
Mm.
Because if you're doing it by yourself, you're a freelancer, you're not a business, you're not doing a business. No, you're a freelancer. As long as you bring people involved, and then those are the people who will make or break you. That's for fact.
Did you want to add something?
I think someone who is very notorious for creating niche businesses.
How many do you have right now? Should we count?
You don't want to know.
I
think first of all is obviously, you know, thinking through the business. I love niche businesses. So thinking through what kind of business I want to do, and also looking for ways to equip myself with knowledge. Because you work with a team of people, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's like a blind person who is leading a group of people.
Yeah.
So it's very important for me that I do that. I also, I'm an advent supporter of talking to someone who knows their numbers and helping you out, because trust me, you can work for 10 years. You can know who, so you'll be like, kind of bad answer. I'm fine for.
And then remember 1,000 Ghana cedis, I say 100 cedis.
Exactly.
Where is the money going?
You know, if you look at our counterparts who live in other countries, you'd see like a newsletter from a young person to say, oh, I started a business with $200 and I've grown it into a $1.5 million business.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that because you didn't write it.
It's true.
You don't have any documentation.
Record keeping.
You don't have anything that shows like how you've grown the business to how many years and so many things that you used to grow the business.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you put the numbers down. Also, your target audience. Each business has people that it would appeal to. I think this week I saw there was a review by somebody who's into food who said, oh, they are selling Kosiani Meko for 50 cedis and she'll buy the street one.
I saw it.
It made me like chuckle, because there is a target market who appreciates what fine dining stands for in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot come from the streets and come and compare that.
Right.
There's Nikes and there's China, whatever.
Okay.
So it depends on where you are in the society status and what you prefer based on. So you have to look for your target audience.
You know, this just came to me. Is it, do you find niche businesses like that very lucrative? Because, you know, people will say, ah, this thing that you are doing is so expensive. Yeah. Who has the time? Who is going to buy Kuchani Miku for 50 Ghana cedis just because you have AC that you come sit inside? Do you find that those businesses are lucrative? And would you, I mean, I don't know, because you do a lot of like niche stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do they have longevity?
Oh, all my businesses are thriving.
Hey! Then what's the secret?
Well, I think, first of all, I do appreciate niche businesses because I think that you think a lot through it. You think about your target market, your audience, and you, it's easy for you to like reinvent yourself when it's a niche business. So that's why I enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's also because of my social work, it's interesting for me to hear people say, oh, I didn't think this would work.
Mm.
Like, oh, I didn't know that maybe you can sell meat pie at this level and make it look or taste this way or look this way. I didn't think you could freeze watching in such a way and send it outside.
Yes.
You know, it keeps me on my feet.
Right.
So that I don't have to go through a normal African business system of trying to copy the next person. Mm. But then instead of copying, I'm more interested in reinventing and making the idea that I had in the beginning more exciting for my consumers.
Right.
So that's why I love doing niche businesses. Does it thrive all the time? I cannot say yes.
It's seasonal.
Yeah. I mean, there are businesses that are niche businesses that's, you know, when it starts, everybody's there. It's like, hey, have you heard the new? Hey, have you heard it? And I'm saying, well, it's like, you know what? You know, so.
That's a nice club business.
Yeah, but it's a niche business. It doesn't mean it's not a business.
Yes.
Even though it's niche, it's a business. So all the things that people are applying to their businesses to stay longer for 10, 15 years, you'd have to do the same. You can't sit in your house and say, oh, I sell wache here, so that's it. They went back. One day you wake up and there's nobody there, you carry the wache back to your house. So you still have to continuously doing all the, you know, all the marketing things, go outside the box, word of mouth. And now, yeah, people say social media, but traditional media is never out of date. So
TV, radio,
billboards, they're never out of date. So as you are doing the new ones, you are doing the small ones. Because if you look at your target market, I think we were looking at some stats a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was telling us about how if you look at the platforms, like Facebook was around like 60-something%, like in Ghana. It's not Facebook, it's WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the most used.
If you want to do business, WhatsApp
statuses.
So if you sit down and someone says that, oh, give me money and let me just do Instagram for you. No. You are losing us like a whole group of like demographics because there's WhatsApp there. I think the next one was TikTok.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you look at TikTok, there are the Gen Z's.
You said TikTok like an old person.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, how do you say
TikTok?
There is there's TikTok. Like old TV that.
Yeah. What are you supposed to say?
I don't even know.
I just wanted to give people context. If you hear Jay saying a lot about Wachi Wachi, because she owns a very successful business, and Ajwachi by Bukasi Sheik, which is an East Lake one, and now also in Laboni, opposite Zen Garden, Munkutobi.
And soon to be Chado.
Hey, really? Are you doing Chado branch? Okay, yeah, and one of the things, the reason why I can attest to what she says is that, you see, she's always reinventing herself. I saw a couple of years ago, right, Jay invented, like, you know how I have friends who come to this country, and then when they are leaving, they will pack all sorts of things, and they'll go and freeze it before they'll sell it and everything. And Jay does this thing where I think they do an airtight
vacuum
of the wache. They will separate the different things and they will airtight vacuum whatever it is, and you can ship it. Like, she will say that, okay, people come and I sell out, right? She's trying to scale. So the next thing is, how do I also feed the audience that also love wache, but then they will go outside? Yeah, exactly. That's how you have to be thinking about it.
Talk to me.
I want to talk about challenges, right? A lot of people always say, me, I'm afraid, business is risky. And also I'm just going to say, since COVID, the prices of things have been going up and down, more unstable than, you know, GH Twitter. More unstable than GH Twitter. What, as an entrepreneur, like, how do you wrap your mind around it? Because you wake up today, the fall is here. You wake up tomorrow, the dollar is here, right? How do you guys work with challenges as an entrepreneur to make sure you stay afloat?
That's a very difficult question because you think you solved it and then another one just creeps up every now and then. One of my major challenges has always been, when I started, I my goal was to produce in Ghana and see that everything was made in Ghana.
Oh.
This laughter that I'm laughing.
No, I know, because everybody's like that whole thing of like made in Ghana.
Also, Ghana will show you that it won't work. So that's one of the things. The way usually it happens is that for me, I try to keep an ecosystem of like-minded people who are doing similar things that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we borrow off of each other. So I have other friends who do something similar to what I'm doing. And I'm like, Charlie, this is what I'm trying to figure out here. It's not working. How do I fix it? And usually some of them have probably been there before me. And this is how they solve this. But right now, the one thing that I'm trying to solve is to scale.
Mm-hmm,
because I've played in these regions for so long, I need to step it up a notch. And to scale means that I need to have a shop here in London. I need to have a shop in the US. I need to have a shop somewhere. My production can no longer be in Ghana anymore. Mm-hmm. I cannot have somebody in Kumasi do my production for me. If I was trying to do 100, 200 shirts, yes, it's fine. But if I'm trying to do 1,000, 2,000 shirts, that means that I need to ship them in.
Mm-hmm.
When I started, that was how I was doing it.
Right.
But then the dollar was 60s.
I forgot I was saying like that, so... The
dollar was 3
Ghana cedis. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Wow.
The dollar was 6 cedis.
Yeah.
And now the dollar is 14.1.
It's above 14.
Yeah. Mm. Now the dollar is 14.1.
I thought it was 12.
I thought it was 13.8.
What do you want to?
It depends on the day you check. That's what it is.
What do you want to? So even now, when I'm trying to raise capital, I try not to raise it from here. Because at the end, the Ghana CD would do me more harm than good.
Right.
So I try to raise capital in currencies that are more stable, basically. And then that's how I'm working it. My other challenges are probably marketing. And by marketing, I mean I'm just trying to find more clever ways to do it. So the thing is, good news, if somebody asks me right now, I say I sell t-shirts.
Right.
But I think the apex of all media is film.
Yeah.
And with film, everything comes together. Mm-hmm. Costume, lighting, video, audio, music, all of it comes together. And I'm trying to position Good News at that apex so that we can cater for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So if that means that I cannot approach the way I'm selling my shirts like a regular person would do, I would have to... I have a film coming out tomorrow.
Oh.
And so... And it's about Fuku Fee. It's one of the themes that I'm selling right now.
Okay.
But I didn't just do some videos. I did like a whole production with a squad to just shoot it. It's a very short film. It's about 100 seconds.
100 seconds? What's that in minutes?
That's a minute 40.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why did you just say that? No, it's marketing. Actually, it's marketing.
Kilograms, pounds.
No, it's marketing. My film is 100 seconds long. It's marketing. I get it. No, but you know, I was watching Mandem, right? Mm-hmm. And I now see the Nike vision. Because you know, brands like Nike, Apple...
They never talk about the stuff.
They don't talk about it. They are selling a feeling, you know? And I see that you do that. I was watching, I was like, I need to get a tea. I saw there was one where they've written it across like this. And then the person, I was like, I just want to buy it. So that when I'm walking, I'll do this. So no, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So that positioning also means that there are different ways to navigate, because we don't have a system that is set for you to build your foundation on. So you're figuring it out as you go. So the main thing for me, to be honest, is the ecosystem. I have a team of people around me who are creatives doing similar things, and I'm like, yo, I have a challenge. I'm trying to figure it out. How do I fix this? I apply it. I do it this way in music. So maybe when you apply it to your clothes this way, it might work.
Mm-hmm.
I try it. I experiment. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then I find another way to move forward. Because the thing is, I learned very early that if I wanted to base my business on my country, I would fail. Very early that if I wanted to base on the systems in my country, on whatever the politics is in my country, there's no way I would succeed.
Would you say that's because of the type of business you're doing?
For sure.
OJ, do you feel the same way? Do you also not base like what you do just on Ghana?
Well, I live and thrive in Ghana. Yeah. So obviously when I start thinking about the business, I think of it as a Ghanaian business.
Yeah.
However, I think it also has a potential to move into other
spaces. Yeah.
And food has become a very... like important part of country tourism.
Yeah, so tourism,
culture, you know. So people are making a fuss about African food who are not even African. So yeah. we as Africans need to make it.
Which, by the way, the enough of the jollof conversation. Every time you post, meet somebody who is a chef or whatever from Africa, the first thing they want to ask is jollof. Read more. Hey, we have a lot of other things. Jeez.
Yeah, Africa is more than jollof.
It's more than jollof. Sorry, I just had to get that in there.
I understand you.
Can you imagine all the things that you have done? You go, let's say you go into the big platform, you say, so Ghana or Nigeria jollof, won't you roll your eyes? I'm like, come on.
That's the Ghanaian jollof.
They're also trying to enter the channel. Has there ever been a time where it's like you pay the salaries but you don't pay yourself?
Are you kidding? But like the first few years, there's nothing like that.
Really?
There's nothing like you're paying yourself.
Wow.
Really? For like the first few years, I mean, the job of the leader is to save. So clearly you are not at the point where you would, even if you can pay yourself, it's just like a very little sum. And these are the people who, because the thing is, the truth is, the vision is yours. It's not theirs. You may have sold it to them and they are riding along, but it's yours.
Yeah.
And they need to at least earn their ends meet. So if there's ever the situation where you cut yourself out so that they get their ends meet, you do it. Like, you don't even have to think about it. And that usually happens for the first few years before it gets to the point where, you know.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're like in an industry like fintech and those places and you've got some great investments, right, that one you already have an Excel sheet. Even an Excel cap. So you have an Excel sheet of how much you should pay yourself. If you pay yourself more than that, then hey, there's trouble.
Yeah.
But in our kind of business, you know, after a few years, but when you start making small money, please pay yourself.
Pay yourself.
It took me a while. Like, like my cousin had to come in and say, hey, madam, stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a while. But now I'll take the money. If I have to buy internet with this girl, I'm taking it.
For me, what I do is like it's a stipend. It's not like a salary. Like just something to keep me afloat. Very base, covers the base things that I do, and then everything else.
I mean, there's been a lot of challenges recently with power, and you know, people even say over taxation and all those kind of things. What is risk mitigation like for an entrepreneur? You know, what was like when some of these things are happening, what are you guys thinking? Oh, how do I, you know, navigate frequent? I'm telling you, recently the studio had to go and buy a generator. It wasn't in our yearly budget, but we can't come and sit here, record, they are not lights in the core off. You get it? So even I remember when we were doing my stand-up show in February 24th.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I remember we had done like the cost of like the stage and everything, and then we're like, oh my god, we have to get a generator because in case like park. So now every event we do, you have to add generator, and it's not easy. So like, what is that? What's risk mitigation like now as entrepreneurs?
For me and the industry that I work in, because we don't have a system or a policy that helps with pricing. Which, you know, it happens, and pricing is across border ingredients, our equipment, all the other things that we use as a business. It's important that we put together a little sum of money for things that will come on in the year. But even that, we don't have a certain percentage that we can put down. So for example, if a cylinder of gas was 190,
I hear that one has gone up.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, and a few days ago it's 240. Like, you can never see that coming. Because in a whole year, we have increment. And once increment hits the fuel, it hits like across board. So you can never tell. But what usually happens is, for instance, some restaurants or some businesses will say they would have to increase their profit margin so it means they will increase the sale of what they are selling. So their food, Or some businesses say, okay, we'll chest it out and then we'll increase it maybe in the second quarter or the third quarter, what have you. So even though we know that these things will happen and we make some sort of arrangement for it, I think it's never enough because we don't have the policies. The country doesn't have the policies that we would know, or they don't even tell us. It's like There's you see it on the news. You just see that, oh, it's increasing tomorrow. So you are never really prepared for it. Mm-hmm. But if we had a system where maybe the agricultural sector or the minister says, hey, we're going to increase tomato sales by this percentage in about 2 months, you kind of prepare yourself. Every 6 months there's a shuffle. So, but because you never know that, it's either you're chasing this increment and reducing your profit margins, or you are increasing. And depending on if you're like me, you can't increase your watcher to, where are you going? But there's some other businesses that can do that. Some other businesses can do that. They can increase their price, and people will still not even complain about it. But for us running this kind of business, it's a little hard.
There's a name for that in economics, Murphy. But then I was going to ask, T-shirts. Somebody will say, now that there's not a lot of disposable income, where am I going to buy a T-shirt, customize my T-shirt? Like, do you think that disposable income being affected is affecting the ability for your target market to patronize you?
The thing that we fail to see is that it's not necessarily... It's for sure, people buy our stuff with disposable income. But the way that we approach it, because you just gave an example yourself. Like, I have never come to you, Joseph, and said, oh, Joseph, try me on T-shirt. You were going through my stuff and you're like, oh, man, I need some of this. And that's my approach. My approach is not to put something in your face where you have to look and see how much money I have to spend on this. It's to make you think that you need it. That's my approach. For me, it's easier that way. And because of that, sometimes I may not have the numbers. Because when I set off, I said I'd rather sell 15 shares to 100 people repeatedly than to 1,000 people once.
True.
And that's what I've been building. So my approach has never been, oh, better, better, better. My approach is, oh man, he's doing some really good stuff. But what's the guy wearing in the video? What's he wearing in the thing? I want that.
And he does like these voiceovers. When you watch the video, when I started, my name, Nanyuin, was given to me by my parents.
Who else would give my name?
I was listening to your video. Okay, two more questions. Do the next one for the two of you. Do you guys feel like entrepreneurs get a lot of respect? You know, I see a lot of discourse on the internet, 9-to-5ers versus entrepreneurship. And I just feel like sometimes people feel entrepreneurs are people maybe oko school anyade. So you couldn't get an office job, or you don't have a certificate, so you can't get an office job. You know, do you feel like you get a lot of respect as entrepreneurs?
You're asking the person who doesn't care about the respect that's coming from people.
See here.
No, yeah, I'm making my money. You are respecting me or not respecting me?
Do you guys look down on 9-to-5ers?
No way.
No, actually, there's a song by Kojo Q, Workaholics Anonymous, and it basically outlays what we do over here. When you're working for someone, you think that a person is giving you a heck of a time, and you are doing all of these extra things, and sometimes you send a report. They say they want it at 5 p.m. You send it at 5 p.m., don't reply till Monday. And then all of these things are happening. The salary probably doesn't come in time. But this same employer who has employed you, she doesn't even know where the next paycheck is going to come from. He's probably going to sell his TV, probably going to sell his phone just to take care of that. So the thing is, both of us are struggling. The 9-to-5ers and entrepreneurs are struggling. Whether it's a matter of respect or not, both of us are trying to figure things out. And to be honest, a lot of entrepreneurs are coming from 9-to-5 thinking that entrepreneurship will be a safe haven for them until you get in and then you realize that, bro, that 9-to-5 is now a 9-to-9 or a 9-to-12 or a 9-to-1 a.m.
And the former Kaya,
yeah, and also exactly. We both live in the same economy. Like, if 5,000 can't do anything for me, he can't do anything for 9-to-5 either. True. If he can't, take care of his family, his immediate needs, the same thing. It's not like you go somewhere and say, "Oh, you're an entrepreneur, collect free." You know, it's the same thing, the same currency we are working with. So whether you're doing a 9-to-5 or you're not doing a 9-to-5. I don't think there's anything about respect or no respect. Just, collect your bag wherever it comes from.
Yeah. Because the mistake they make is they will say, I wake up in the morning and I go to work, so I spend on transport. Entrepreneur, you don't. But that's not true.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all.
Actually, how do you guys deal with annoying clients? And that also feeds into customer service.
Oh my God.
Because I, especially for you, some Jay, I remember during the lockdown period, there was this era where every day people come and complain about, I bought my food and the rider this and the rider that.
Yeah.
How do you guys deal with, I mean, because you say the customer is always right.
So I'm not sure if I believe in the customer is always right.
Actually, that philosophy is flawed. There's more to the quote.
I do not believe in that.
What the full quote?
Yeah.
I don't remember it exactly, but it insinuates that it is within a certain spectrum. After that, they are wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So the customer is not always right. However, the customer should have the opportunity to express their feedback. That's what I believe. Right. Whether you think it's valid or it's not valid, the customer should be able to express their feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say that if a customer expresses their feedback and you can't solve it there, you don't have to try to solve it. It's like something would happen and there was someone would call and say, the delivery guy brought my food and it was a mess. And then immediately, like, you send a free pack of food. I don't believe in that. Take your time, find out what happened. Maybe you can call the customer, explain to the customer, I use a third party, this is what I'll make sure that this is put in place. I'll make sure the packaging is done properly, so that, because obviously the motor, it will mess up the food.
Right.
Just the customer, you send a free pack, it's not because they can't afford it, it's because you're trying to show them that you care about their complaint. And then now you go back to deal with the courier service. You say, guys, there's a problem. Better. We need to fix it. And then you also come and deal with yourself. Like yesterday, I bought a pack of juice from Fika. So I was so impressed the way it was
packaged.
It was packaged. Like, it's delivery. So they have sealed the top of the cup. And I think there were cookies, and they had put the individual cookies in brown envelopes. And it just hits me that when you order like a KFC crusher, they just give you the cup and the
straw.
By the time it gets there, and then it's all over the place, and the delivery guy says, "I'm a catcher, almost." But once I saw that Fika's packaging, I was like, "Oh, this is a business that has thought about the food coming to the customer, where it's going to be, and how it's going to get there.
The potholes,
exactly." So for some of us, if it comes to you, like I said, the customer's complaint is valid, unless there are also some customers who complain.
Yeah, there's a difference between feedback and just being plain rude.
Ever since this whole content thing started, one thing I've come to notice is that there are some people whose strategy for content is outreach. They are always outreached about something. It doesn't mean some part of valid, but there are some people that when they wake up in the morning, their content idea is, I have to be outreached by one thing or the other just to get views. And right now that Elon is paying people to get views on Twitter DM. Alright, so my last and final question, this was actually Kwame's question. Let's see. If you were offered $100,000 today to stop.
No.
Oh no. 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 No.
It's so
small.
Wait, okay, so name your price.
Oh.
Oh no. Price my sister. Just about work for more than 10 years. My business is valued more than $100,000. No, of course.
You even met the vice president. What was that like? Kamala? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Vice President of America, Kamala Harris.
I think it was humbling for me to be able to like be chosen from what I do, to be able to tell them, you know, what my views are when it comes to women empowerment and business and digitization. So it was really humbling. Yeah.
And was it like, you know, previewing a short film and like the feedback and stuff? Because
he was chosen for a film festival. I didn't want to bring you on home.
Have you not posted about it?
Monday was chosen for a film festival last year.
Sir,
we've applied for a couple more as well. We're just waiting for feedback. Yeah. But I was also actually quite shocked because I wasn't expecting it.
Ghanaian modesty.
No. To be honest, let me tell you how Mandem started. We went to shoot a skit, and then it became a documentary.
So are you also like into skits?
No. See, the thing was, I wanted to say something, and I thought the best medium to say it was a skit.
Okay.
Right. But when I went to have the conversation with the people, I realized that there was more to the story.
Yeah.
And that a skit wouldn't cut it.
Mm.
Man Dem took us a year to produce.
I understand. I started out doing documentaries.
Yes.
Oh. It took me 8 months to edit my first documentary. Mm. And yeah. then I started off the top and I forgot about it. But I'm going to come back to that yeah. someday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so to close out, mm-hmm. I want you guys to, you know, tell Ghanaians about, you know, if you had like an elevator pitch, 60 seconds to talk about your business.
Oh my
God. I knew yeah. I should have practiced this part.
Yeah. Pick one of the things you want them to really, really like, you know. Yeah. So who wants to start first? You know, like, I'll start for you guys. Okay. Hi guys, my name is Joseph Nti and I have a podcast called Sincerely Accra that I started with a friend, Kwame Asante. It comes out every 2 weeks on a Monday. It's really great, it's entertaining, and it makes light of very serious issues that you want to listen to. I've also started my foray into stand-up comedy. It's going to be coming out, my first one that I did, is going to be coming out on April 17th, my birthday, and you get to see it. And I'm going to do another one. So please tell your businesses, your friends, your family, in fact, people who have money to sponsor my next one because I want to do it and I'll make you laugh and you will be entertained. What about you guys?
That was like a
bad. Your mirror has seen things.
Mr. Piotr, Michelle Prawinfrey, no, my So, yeah, guys.
We should give one.
Wait,
sir,
wait, sir. Hi, my name is J. Hey, is that your name? What am I saying that?
No, no, that's a nice name, actually.
Wait.
J. Buzia, it's pretty cool, yeah?
J. Jimmy, why did I say I'm bringing you? Oh my God, I'm dying. No. Okay, you do want to go first. Because you're talking about coming out all the time.
Good news. Okay.
Hey,
I think I may be.
This is what I'm going to tell you for entrepreneurs. You have to know how to sell yourself on the spot. Jay is rolling her eyes.
Yeah.
Jay, get into
her. Rolling my eyes because what did you sell?
Me? Yeah. I sold two things. My podcast and my stand-up comedy. My
podcast and stand-up comedy. Yeah, actually did it pretty well. It was quite smooth. It's quite smooth.
Yeah,
next time, maybe next time. More numbers.
Okay. You know what? Social media. Yeah. Where can they find your social media?
Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
At where?
YouTube. Oh, need never back on to me. But in that way. Mukasi Chic.
Mukasi Chic.
Yes.
Yeah. C-H-I-C.
C.
Enyeki. Is there any underscore in there?
No. Underscore. You want to type in Mukasi Chic, you find me. Yeah.
Mukasi.
And then Ananjuache is Ananjuache by Mukasi Chic on all the platforms.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you started your social.
Yes, I have.
Culinary for Social Change.
Culinary for Social Change. And like I said, we are using our skills and our resources in culinary to train underprivileged and unskilled women with culinary skills so they can go into their communities, make impact, take care of their families. Off that, we're also creating businesses, culinary businesses for them. So once they finish their training, they can get jobs to do and
Do you still do event catering?
Yes, I still do event catering.
Exactly. It's more friendly. You know the funny thing, Jay?
Yes.
I'm yet to eat your jollof.
Wow.
When did you have jollof? For all those years. Anyway, Nyanui, let's have it. Good News Limited. Good news. Crying time for you.
Right. Yeah, funny thing is my latest film is called Full Creepy.
Okay.
And it has to do with that. It's just being unapologetic about your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is coming out. But you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Our website is sharegoodnews.co. On Instagram is goodnews_LTD, same on Facebook and all the social media platforms. We are not on Twitter.
I know why. Hey, I'm gonna too much. Anyway, guys, listen, that has been our interview on entrepreneurship. I hope that you were able to get something that will help you. Mm-hmm. This may be your sign. Maybe you have been thinking about it. This is your sign. Listen, you're never gonna fully figure it out. It's like parenting. You figure it out as you go.
As you go.
So your parents.
Yes, I have two dogs. Yeah. One is 9 years old and one is 2 years old. Share. Akramayashe. And yeah, is you. At least human beings, you can talk to them. But anyway, guys, I hope you were able to get something out of this. And listen, do patronize these businesses. Check them out. You know, if not today, tomorrow or next week. That's the thing. But anyway, thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, stick and stay. It's Sincerely Accra.
BBC 4 said that citizens, bro. Yeah. pits in the road, eh? Me not be too quiet, no. Fellow Ghanaians, this is out of my hands. Remember, two on my way, you may be. We can do the math, I'll be raised to the pod. Then you knock me down with a log down to the root to go ball. And that be why I rock Peter, the rock Paul. Me, Jovia, cut the young bitter, the old ball. Me, Jovia, fat, la woomy, I up on. Hired by city. Know they get safer when you live in my city. If you need a job, go get it. We can build more doors for your two and fro. All the sorrows may last for the night. Bills come at in the morning. Now that's your mama moose, you know me. Taxi will bet, taxi will bribe, taxi will pipe, but my taxi will tight.
This is a car city. Also not be small for my own, I didn't get like one Billy. Campaigns go be cheap, very least, I didn't get like one Billy. When I win champagne, no be cheap from my crack to last city. Government, they can't see this man, that be why I thought that's your one city.
All right, guys, we're back, and it's time for us to do a listener letter. Yes, indeedy. Oh, RIP Max. Yeah, RIP to Max. Yes, indeedy. Vice Master, you remember that advert? Anyway, this listener letter is going to be from somebody I've decided to name Episode. Yes. Episode. Write a letter upon us, Cecilia Cry. Write a letter upon us, Cecilia Cry. Episode. Bombo Galata Barasta. I don't know. I think this is appropriation, so I'm going to stop. Okay, so this is what Episode has to say, y'all. Episode said what? Let's see. Hello, Joe. I recently turned down my mother's request to go to a family event. She got very upset and started complaining about my antisocial behavior and how when she dies, nobody's will. Girl, this must gonna be dramatic all the time. Your mama is dramatic. Oh, I live for it. She knows she is well-versed in the game of sabotage. I love it. Listen, she got very upset and started complaining about my antisocial behavior and how when she dies, nobody will support me because I don't go to any family events. I ended up going to cut matters short. Just yesterday, she informed me of another event this weekend and I am dreading it. Joe, I am not antisocial. Oh, baby, I know. I'm very well aware of what this is about, but let's go. I have friends and I go out. I just hate family events because nobody minds their business. I'm 28 years old, single, and minding my small salary, and I don't want to be reminded about marriage or compared to my cousins. And I'm an only child, and I never met my dad, so I'm all she has. Ooh! And they wouldn't hear to me if I want to back bear now. You are always going to be the center child, girl. You're always going to be Destiny's child. We're Beyonce, woman life. What's the best way to handle the situation? Baby, Episode, you have two options, okay? And the two options is wholly dependent on how you feel, like, what you're okay doing when it comes to your mother. Like, do you want to consider her feelings or do you just want her to get in line? Because at some point, when you get to a certain age, you are allowed to kind of dictate for your parents, you know, the boundaries they shouldn't cross because you're now an adult and they no longer have to make decisions for you. You can take advice from them. They can chip in or whatever. But like what they say is not law. Just like when we're kids and then like you, unless they give you permission, you don't need the permission anymore. So it changes the relationship, right? If you don't really care, you just have to disappoint her. Just don't go. Don't go to the things. Go by what you do is that you go to the important things. That's what I believe. Go to the 90th birthday, 70th birthday, 60th birthday, the christening, the marriage. You know, those ones are like monumental one-time things, you know. But like, oh, auntie, stay home, jollof, ikewa ba yeku. Girl, it's Sunday. I don't want to spend my Sunday with like 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. And I'm not saying like it's because they are old or whatever. But like, it's a different like generation, and honestly I just want to chill, you know what I mean? I work from Monday to Friday. I just want to be at home. I just want to rest, because the weekend, when you blink twice, no, it's gone. Monday's like literally here again, and you have to go through the whole thing again for another 2 days. That's never enough. So it's like you just want to relax, but they don't get it, because also for them, if they're retired, most likely they're at home all the time and they're always happy to go out. You get what I'm trying to say? And they don't see it from the angle of you're tired, you're overworking and whatever. But like, you gave in and now she's invited you to something else. So like, don't give in. I'm not going. And don't let there be a discussion about it. Like, I'm not going, finalize it, like walk away, do like sweet topics. You know what I mean? And then when the important ones come around, cause she will tell you, she will keep telling you, oh, there's a 70 years. And you'll be like, okay, try and see if you can make it some time for it and just do one or two of it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like when you're past like 30, honestly, you need a lot of me time. I don't know if the 30 plus Ghanaian can like relate to this. You need a lot of me time. And this is how I see it, right? When you're a Ghanaian and you're born here, you have to literally live in the shadow of your parents. You know, we're all told to act a certain way, or we are all made to think that a certain way of presentation is the best, a certain way of talking, a certain way of behaving, a certain type of clothes to wear. Like, we have put into our head that something is this way and something is bad. So a lot of people just cannot be themselves. You spend your whole life in walking the side of your parents, because if you go and do something, you don't toe the line, you do something that people consider a bit odd. They'll say, ah, who are your parents? We'll be at home until 10 years. Like, you know, it's always like, why you live your life trying to like make sure that someone feels all right all the time. And most of the times, these are people that don't even really care to find out what's really going on with you. And like, you know what I mean? Because the relationship with African parents and African children is just a little wonky. You know what I mean? So in your 30s, you're allowed to put you first and put them second every now and then. It's fine. Let me tell you, you need that sanity. You need that you time. So you're either having that conversation and then you're like, mommy, it to me. Can't tell you what my money to Freddie. Can't buy it to me. It was something that started knowing you're drawn here. Yeah, I quit with my warm machine. Ah, my ball, take a jar of coin. Me and Queen in the movie. Hello, Netflix. No, cool. Like, just you can explain it to her, but if you just you want no contact, because a lot of you niggas really don't know how to do confrontations in Ghana, again, your socializations affects you, then do the ignoring shit. Don't go to the things, and then go to the important ones, like I'm saying. And that's what I'm going to tell you, episode. You better take that advice, because it's golden. Yeah, right. If any of you guys think you have something better to say about it, you know what? Talk about it on Twitter, hashtag Sincerely Accra, at Sincerely Accra. Sound off in our Instagram comments. Sound off on TikTok. Let people know. Share this episode because you love it. It made you laugh and you learned a lot about entrepreneurship, baby. Yeah, babes. Look, we're going to go right into our shout outs.
Every day I pray, only way I numb the pain. Every day I wake and bathe. On the line of life, they take a hold of me. No, take control, control me. No, shake my faith, I'm praying. They say they won't do me that way, then do me worse. They won't use me. I just push it first. You never do me, do me the way they do me, do. You never do me, do me the way they do, the way they do me. In the shadow, in the struggle, be my light. In the darkness, I know you're gonna be my guide, my guide, my guide. Be my eyes tonight.
Okay, so on this episode, we're gonna be shouting three amazing people. We're going to be shouting out Anobia Pobi, King Dave 07, and Jotivational. Yes. We did a post this weekend. We're like, listen, if you want to shout out, go comment on our last video. And these three were the first that I saw and I picked them up. Anobia Pobi said, this podcast can make you forget the shitty day you had at work. A great stress reliever. Oh, the ratings are in, people. We made it. Yes, I don't be on Poby. I agree. I completely agree and understand. Thank you so much for the love. Keep talking about us. Kinday07 said, get the fuck down and go get your own shit, brah. This is about, you know, when we posted about the corporate video where the guy was like, he hates that woman that's always like waiting for him to get up to go and buy something before she'll be like, oh, buy something for me. Go and buy your own thing. Yeah. So Kinday was like, get the fuck down and go get your own shit, brah. Ah, I love it. And Jotivational, put a laughing emoji. It's cute. Thank you. It's a comment. So those are our shout outs for this episode. Listen to a song here in my heart. A melody I start, but can't complete because, bitch, I can't sing. Anyway, guys, that's our episode. We had so much fun. Oh, I feel like this is like a buffet, mixed basket. Y'all know it was good, right? Yeah, we love it over here. Anyway, guys, listen, you've come to the end of the episode. I'm parched. I need to drink water because, bitch, my tongue is dry. But anyway, I want to give a quick shout out to Andrew Bunting from, you know, Water and Gary, Table Service new movie on Amazon Prime. Oh my God, Andrew, I saw your film and, you know, you put in some work and I love it. Thank you so much for the invite. Yeah, guys, I think that's about it. Kwame, listen, this is the moment that you jump in and show them who's boss when it comes to, you know, music, sound engineering, like just putting together a good time. And that's why people always check for us. That's the thing. So all of you that are new here, Sincerely Cry is always going to be checked out, because guess what? It's always a good time on Sincerely Cry. I love you guys for listening. Catch you on the next one. Okay, Kwame, let them have it.
Exclusive. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Oh yeah. Gentle. When I'm quite so Bethy, I can't wait to see you. Baby, it's a long, long, mommy, cause I really can't wait to see you. I'm a bummer, oh no, I can't wait to serve it to you. Edo, Edo, Sabado. Darling, Brahmin, yeah, what to? Bob and Koma, there was some. Travel told him it'll be up. Remember, I was three until it's 2 a.m. morning, dude. I'm not but you, my walk, and so you're crying, girl. Sunday I may catch your dad. I'm my only one, baby. Me, I was soldier. Girl, your wish is my command. Sunday I may get no dad. I'm not sure you better take back. My sweetheart with a sweetheart. We are check, check, check.
Gold Coast Report production.